Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said in the children's message, every year, all years, the A, B, and C, the end of the church year focuses on the end of life on earth, on this present age. The end of this age comes with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Here's the question: how certain are we that he's coming? 100% certain. Our Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, had said to his disciples, "We are going up to Jerusalem. I will be betrayed into the hands of evil men, killed, and rise again." And which of those things happened? All of them. So that same Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come and take you to be with me forever." Are we sure that it will take place? That Jesus, yes. This morning our gospel lesson was from Matthew chapter 25. I want us to take a peek at Matthew chapter 24 just a little bit. The chapters go together, and here's a crazy thing. The lectionary appointed for readings in the church never reads from Matthew 24. Critically important chapter of the Bible. Jesus is in Jerusalem with the disciples in Matthew 24, and the disciples are marveling at the beauty of the city. And Jesus says, "Do you see these buildings? Not one stone here will left upon another." And they say, "When? When, Lord? When will this happen? And when will be the time of your coming?" Those are two different things. Of course, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 and the coming of our Lord, a date we know not yet. And so Jesus, if you want to read that chapter, especially verses 4 to 14, Jesus says several things about the coming of the end. And here's our challenge in 2023 to ask ourselves, when Jesus describes the time before the end, how much of this is happening? So here's the first one. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. Have false teachers come claiming that they are the Christ? Yes. One of them, Reverend so-called Sun Myung Moon, literally said he was a reincarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Reverend Moon, since that time, has died and is not risen again. Not the Christ. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, not only wars that you see, but wars you haven't heard of. Struggle and skirmishing around the face of the earth. Does that go on? There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Does that go on? It seems to go on with increasing frequency. You will be handed over to be persecuted, and you will be put to death. They say that more Christians perished for the faith in the 20th century than the preceding 19. And we live in an era when it's becoming increasingly unpopular to hold the views of biblical Christianity. Many will turn away from the faith, he said. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But here's a promise: he who stands firm to the end will be saved. All these things going on before the coming of the Lord, and those who stand firm, church, that's you, will be saved. And then this: the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, that the good news of Jesus the Savior will go to the ends of the earth. How many of those things are happening? I do not know the date, and neither does anyone else, but it seems soon-ish. Jesus in Matthew 24 is doing direct teaching, specific words about the end. In Matthew 25, he teaches three parables. He loves to do that. Matthew 24, teaching. Matthew 25, parables. I want to look at all of them just quickly. Pastor Colin preached really nicely a couple weeks ago, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. Do you remember that parable? 10 virgins going out to meet the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? Christ, Jesus. And this is true every time the Lord talks about the end. There's a delay. Right? There's a delay. And they brought their lamps and they brought their oil, which is the faith that they have. And some have not brought enough oil. As Pastor Colin put it, some people are playing with fire by not tending to the things of God. And the Bible says that five of them were foolish and five were wise. Isn't that the way? There's always a delay. There's so much of a delay that the Bible says, and it goes on now, some people will say, where is this coming? There's foolish virgins, there's wise virgins. The foolish, they save our share your faith with us, and they say that's not possible. You cannot be saved by your grandmother's faith. You cannot be saved by your family's history with the church. You have to have your oil yourself. And this is one thing the judgment does, is the judgment reveals who the wise and the foolish really are. And we need to know this. It will not be what the world thinks. The world has called believers foolish. They will discover the opposite. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. You've heard it many times, of course. Once again, a man goes on a journey. Isn't that always the way? The absence of the master, the delay of the master, and the master decides to parcel out his property to his servants. To one he gives five talents, to another he gives two talents, to another he gives one talent. And isn't that so? Everyone has at least a talent. Some people have a lot of talents. I know you're going to look at some people and say, that guy went through the talent line many times. I know. Some of us have fewer, but all of them were entrusted to do something with it. Verse 14, after a long time, again, every time, the Lord ascends to heaven, and after a long time, it seems like a terrible delay, but the corollary is that when he returns, it will feel sudden, right? People are saying, where is this coming of the Lord? When it comes, people are going to say, oh, is that today? The one servant with five talents put them to work. He gained five more. And the master says, I want to hear these words. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've heard that many a time. That's actually in the Bible. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What I love about it is the guy with five talents gains five more. The guy with two talents gains two more. That's less. And what does the master say? The exact same words. He doesn't say you did less. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one guy does nothing. There's always the wise and the foolish. And that one guy says, I was afraid of you, Lord. I know that you're a hard man. And I want us to get this. That man has a false view of God. God is, in fact, gracious and merciful. And people think he's difficult and hard. Here's a funny thing. Notice this. Today, there's a growing number of people who describe themselves as atheists. And read them, please. Pay attention to what they're saying. Many atheists, rather than not believing in God, are actually mad at God. Right? Richard Dawkins writes endlessly to attack the faith. He suffered abuse at the hands of a priest as a young man. And our heart goes out to him. That is not as it should have been. But he's actually mad at God. He doesn't really think there's no God. He's shaking his fist in God's face. All these parables are going to say a couple things. The owner is coming, there's a delay, and there's a division. So when we get to this morning's gospel, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, the parable of what? The sheep and the goats. There's always the two. And so Jesus starts this out, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and I want us to hear this, when he comes in his glory with all of his angels, what the text is saying when it says that is not in his humility. The first time the Lord came was totally different. When he comes again, it will not be in a manger in Bethlehem. It will be with the angels and in power. And when he comes, the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. I want us to notice the division. It's in all three parables, and I want us to catch this. The Bible never says that all are saved. I know many people want to believe that. It's a lovely doctrine to say that everyone will be saved in the end. That is unbiblical. He will separate them. And he says these words, they sound a lot like the second parable. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Isn't that lovely that when we pass away, the Lord will say to you, come. Come into the happiness that's yours. Now, here's the challenge of this parable, and people sometimes wrestle with this. When you read it, you think, wait a minute, it seems like it's a judgment of works, doesn't it? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. It sounds like he's judging their works. I want us to always bear in mind, the Bible is one doctrine. No part of the Bible contradicts the others. So does the Bible teach that you're saved by works? No. By grace you've been saved through faith. This isn't of yourselves, right? Romans 3, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So what Jesus is doing, he's saying, you're saved by grace. You're saved by the grace of God by trusting in the work of his Son, Jesus the Savior. But there's a sequence here. When it comes to salvation, works don't enter into it at all. But once you've been saved, how shall you live, right? The saved are to live a life that's been transformed. That's Romans 12, right? Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Saved by grace, saved by faith, and now transformed by the gospel to live a life of service. And so sometimes the Bible will talk about your faith, and sometimes the Bible will talk about the results of it. He's not contradicting it. He's just saying believers live like this. Now here's the thing I love to notice about it. They were hardly aware of it, were they? He said, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? You notice it? The believers live their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, doing the things set before them. And when God wants to acclaim them, they say, we don't remember doing those things. Here's a funny statistic. I found this. I guess I found it on the internet, so we don't know if it's true or not. They say that in the average year, 84% of Americans will donate to a charity. 84%, that sounds pretty good, but they broke it down. The highest group of people giving to charitable organizations is evangelical Christians, 93% of them. The lowest is the unchurched, 27%. They focused on themselves, and so they were unaware. Lord, when didn't we visit you? They weren't aware that they had lived a life putting themselves on the throne. Here at Mount Olive, I always delight this, that we support the ministry Sharing God's Love, a very important ministry in our town. This is what I love about it. When we put in the bulletin that Sharing God's Love needs non-perishable food items, I see you guys coming into church carrying non-perishable food items and sticking them in that grocery cart. And at the beginning of the school year, we say, we need school supplies. And here comes everybody with boxes of tissues and pencils. That's right. So I want to close with this true story. Brother, pastor of mine, good friend of mine in Connecticut, he got a call. Could he visit a prisoner in the state penitentiary? Not a man that he knew, but he just wanted to see a pastor. And he called my buddy, can you visit him? And my buddy went to visit him, as he should. But he visited him once, and he visited him again, and he visited him again, and he visited him for months. And eventually that man in prison said, I want to join your church. from prison. I want to join your church. And the pastor did the new member class in the jail. And three other inmates joined that member class. He gained four members in the jail. I love that story. But here's the funny wrinkle. The pastor went once a month, and the church, one of those months, scheduled a voters meeting for the time that the pastor was supposed to visit the jail. And he said, that's the day I go to the jail. And they said, well, you need to cancel your appointment. What was he going to do? Right? It's always very easy to think, I'm more important than that other fellow. What did the pastor do? He went to the jail. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.